Okay, this week is Parashas Lech Lecha. Very, very long parasha, complex parasha. There are many, many topics of discussion in this parasha. It's the beginning of Klal Yisrael, the beginning of us. The true beginning of Klal Yisrael. It's a Bereishis. It's a Bereishis for Klal Yisrael. Pasuk says, Vayim Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha, Mi'arzcha, Mi'moladzcha, Mi'esadicha, L'arvus Hashareka. Pasuk base. V'yescho, I will make you L'goy Godol into a great nation. Va'avorechecha, I will bless you. Va'agadlo shemecha, I will make your name great. You will have renown. Ve'yei berachem. Everyone knows this Rashi, the beautiful Rashi. We refer to this Rashi every single day of our lives, at least three times a day. If you get to see Alav Yavo, four times, five times. Yom Kippurim, four times. What am I referring to? Look at the Rashi. The Rashi says, ve'eset l'goy godol, if you have the Rashi, l'fi. The next pasuk. Let me find the Rashi. How could I have lost the Rashi already? Okay, here it is. Let's start the very beginning. Pasuk base. Let's run through the Rashi very, very quickly. Lefi shaderech goy remes l'shloisha devarim mimaetes periya urviya. When a person travels, he does not have the opportunity to have children. It's expensive. All the tolls can really deplete your resources. Easy pass sucks out all your money. Renown. Period. Okay, next. Sifarim acherim. Vizehu v'agadcha shemecha. Okay, that's not really what we wanted to say either yet. Okay, one more time. How could I be? I can't find what I'm looking for. Something so simple. Something so simple. Okay, here. Let's go down. Va'avor rechecha. Va'avor rechecha. B'mamoin. B'reish esraba. Ve'ye b'rocha. Ha'brocha is nisunos b'yotcha. Arach shav hoi b'yodi. B'rach di es odom. V'yes noyach v'oyscha. U'me'ach shav, you're in charge. You will be the one who will decide who gets b'rocha. V'yach shav ato tivorich es asher tech poitz. Dovor Acher. Finally, we have reached our destination. This is the Rashi I wanted to discuss with you. The Eschol Goy Godol Ze Shoimrim Eloikei Avraham. Vavor Rechecha Ze Shoimrim Eloikei Yitzchak. Vagadlo Shemecha Ze Shoimrim Eloikei Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Yochel, I would think you choismin bichulon. You should conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham Yitzchak the Yaakov. Tamaloymar veye bracha bichach choismin. The bracha will conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham, Viloy Bohem, and not in Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Why not?
Why do we have here? This is the makar. We say everything in Shemona Esrei. Okay, Avraham. Okay, Yitzchak. Okay, Yaakov. And yet we come down to Chasimah. Baruch Atah Hashem. Mogein Avraham. Now, I always assumed that when we come to the Chasimah, we're just going in a circle. There are only three of us. There's Avraham. There is Yitzchak, and there's Yaakov. And then, as the Chasimah, we go back to the source. Chozer Chalila. I want to suggest now to you that's not the pshat. The Mogein Avraham is not the same as the first Avraham. There are two Avrahams. There's Avram, and then there's Avraham. In this week's parasha, Avram experiences a shinui hashem to go from Avram to Avraham. So, in truth, there are two. Now, Yitzchak, there is no change of name. There is no change of name from Yitzchak to anything else. Yaakov got an additional name. His name was not changed. His name was, you have an addition to Yaakov. Your name will also be Yisrael. Sometimes we'll use the name Yaakov. Sometimes we'll use the name Yisrael. But Avram went through a change from Avram to Avraham. And thus, my suggestion is, based upon this pasuk, there are four parts of the pasuk, four different concepts. There's a goy gadol. There is va'avorechecha, blessing. Then there is va'gadlo shemecha, greatness, renown. The pasuk does not conclude at the end with Goy Godol. If we're going to Avram, if we're going to go back in a circle, then the pasuk should go back and say, Ve'eschel Goy Godol, Va'avor Rechecha, Va'galo Shmecha, Ve'atotehei Goy Godol. You'll be a Goy Godol. If we're really going back in a circle, if we're going back in a circle, then the very end should be the same exact expression, a Goy Godol. Isn't that what we do in the Shemona Esrei? There is Avraham, there is Yitzhak, there is Yaakov, then Baruch HaTashem again Avraham. But the pasuk gives us four different themes, four different expressions, four different concepts, which are very, very different one from the other. And then we just happen to say that the last one, the Yei Bracha, you will have in your power the ability to give Bracha to you decide, also happens to refer to Avraham Avinu. Thus, I want to show you how in the Nusach of the Tefillah, the truth is, what's this problem? The mic is no good? It's going in and out?
What?
The mic is no good? What's the problem?
No, it's okay.
So what I'm trying to suggest over here is that when we conclude the end of the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, that's not the same Avraham as the beginning of the bracha, Elokei Yitzchak. There are really four of us. It's the same physical human being, but he has grown. He has been transformed to such a great degree that he's like a new person. And he only became a new person only after the shalsheles, after the fact that we've gone through the generations, we've gone through a Yitzchak and a Yaakov. After a Yitzchak and a Yaakov, Avram is not the same Avram. He has now transformed into a new being. Now let me try to explain a little bit better. Let me read you the first bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now we describe all of the various attributes. Hashem, you are Akel, HaGodol, you are great, HaGibor, V'Hanoira, Kel Elyoin, Goymel Chasodim Toivim, V'Koni Yaakov, V'Zoy Chasde Avos, V'Gol of Nevi, V'Nei L'Man Shema B'Yalva. We go through all of these beautiful expressions. Could you map each one of these expressions to one of the three of us? If we're beginning and describing the of us as Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and then we give different attributes, it's obvious that each one of the of us was instrumental in revealing to the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midah. And on a very simple level, let's take the first three. Many put the word Okel with HaGadol together. Avraham Avinu was the one who brought into the world the revelation that there is a creator who is Godol, who is great. What does it mean to be great? Greatness is usually defined in terms of, you want to give me new batteries? Okay, you got it. No, the batteries here are good, but sometimes maybe they're not high quality batteries.
I don't know. Okay.
So just give me new batteries. Okay, go on, just fine. Just quickly. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, back in business. Okay, Avraham was, what does it mean to be Godol? Chazal tell us the meaning of the word Godol means to give. Avraham Avinu's midah was the midah of what? Chesed. Avraham was a giver. Yitzchak had the midah of Yira. What is Yira? Fear. Gevura. What is Gevura? Ezer Gibor. Hakoivesh es Yitzro. Restraint. The word Gevura, without going into all of the details now, represents the midah of Yitzchak. Noira, Yaakov Avinu was the one who said when he came, he rested in Har Moriah, Manoira Hamokoyim Hazeh Ein Zekim Beis Lokim Zeshar Hashemayim. So it's very clear that the first expressions correspond directly to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Akel HaGodol is Elokei Avraham. Elokei Yitzchak is the next word, HaGibor. The next word is Vahanoira is Vahanoira. We're done. Right, we're done. So let's stop right here, put a period, and now say, Melech Ezer Moshiach Magen, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. If you were writing the Shemona Esrei, if you were a part of the team of the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah, is that not what you would have done? No. The first brach is Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Who are these people? Avraham was a person who was Godol. He emulated Hashem. He brought into the world an awareness that Hashem is a Kel, is a God. He is the first one to reveal to the world there's a God, Hagadol, who gives. Avram Avinu had that sensitivity. He emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he became a giver. Yitzchak, he was aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is someone who you fear. He's a gibor. Yitzchak emulated that midah. Yitzchak became a gibor. Yaakov, Manoira Hamokoyim Hazet, it's explicit. He emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noira. We're done. We are finished. We're finished. Melech, Oizer, Moshiach, Mogein, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogein, Avraham, Veheye Baracha. But it's not what happens in the bracha, the first bracha. It goes on and on. Kel Elyon, Gomel Chasadun Toivim, Koni Yaakov, Zerchas, the Ovois, and Vigol, Vnei, Vnei. What's going on over here? The answer is, now that we've finished Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, we're now up to Avraham number two. Avraham number two enters the scene. It's not the same Avraham. It's the same person, obviously. But after, there's, in addition to an awareness of Godol, there's a Yitzchak who has brought into this world Gevura. There's Yaakov who has brought into the world Noira. And you synthesize Chesed, Gevura, and Emes Yaakov, with all that entails of Noira, Emes, Torah. Now there's a Nay Avram. And now we start with Avram all over again. The first time we mentioned Avram, we referred to him with the term, the one who brought into awareness in this world, Hashem is a Kel. Hakel HaGadol. Now it says, no.
It says, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon.
Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. Exactly. Avram was the one who brought into the world that there's a Kel. And he's not just a Kel, who's Godol, who gives. Avram Avinu was Isaac and Chesed. But now that we finish with Yitzchak and Yaakov, and we have now new ingredients added into the cholent, the Ribbono Shel Olam is no longer just a Kel. He's now a Kel Elyon. Whole new dimension. He's not just Godol. You're a great person. We now redefine, we calibrate the exact meaning of Godol. You know what Godol is? Goimel Chasodim Toivim. Hashem is someone who bestows Chesed. Godol is a very nice word, which means you're great. Greatness is always defined in terms of a giver. Ubarzilei Hagiladi Ish Godol Me'oid. What was he called Godol? Because he was very hospitable. He was very generous. Here we recalibrate that term. It's not just you give. Goimel Chasodim Toivim has more flavor, more detail. The Koine Hakol. Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon, Koine Shamayim Varetz. It's another dimension of Avraham's midah. And because of these midahs, v'zoicher chaste avos, the kindness of all of the avos. Okay, they have umevi goyel levnei v'neim l'man shmo bi'ava. It has a whole new chasima. We now elaborate much more. So in other words, I'm trying to suggest over here is, after, there's not three, there's four. There are not three avos. I'm just using terms to bring out the point. There are three of us, obviously, but when it says in Chazal, "Ve'eschel goy gadol va'avorecha," the expression "goy gadol va'avorecha va'gadlo shemecha," that's the three. "Ve'heye baracha Rashi b'chochosmin." We're not just going back in a circle to the original to the beginning, because then it should say "Ve'eschel goy gadol" again. If we're going to be Chosim and Avram, who is the one that we're calling the Goy Gadol? It's a new person. After you have the blessing of a Yitzchak and of a Yaakov, now when you go back to Avram, Avram is a new Avram. It's first Avram, just the father of Aram. Now he's the Av HaMoin Goyim. It's more than that. We redefine Avram, not just as a Kel, but we define him as a Kel Elyon. When we say he's Godol, he's not just great. He is, the definition of Godol is, he's a Goimel Chasodim Toivim V'Koinei HaKol. Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koinei Shomayim Va'aretz. He brought into awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the owner of this world. It's a redefinition, a refinement, with precision of the nature of Avram, which only can be uncovered after we go through the process of Yitzchak and Yaakov. And now the bracha winds down. Now that we have the four of us, Avraham number one, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Avraham number two, now we come to the chasima, we wind down, Yechosein, main the chasima, and that is, V'zoicher chasti, avos, umevi gol, levnei, v'neim, l'man, shmo, b'yava, melech, ozem, moshim, again, baruch, ato, Hashem, again, Avraham. When it says in the Rashi, b'choch, choismin, doesn't mean just the Mogen Avram. B'choch choismin is when we start all over again, Kel Elyon. I mean, it's an obvious question. Why does it say in the Mishmar Eshe twice Kel? It says Hokel. Every single word is so precise. Is so there's so much detail. Why would Chazal repeat themselves in one bracha? The first bracha Shmoneh Esrei, you say Kel twice. You say Hokel, Hagodol, Hagibor, V'Hanayra, Kel Elyon. Excuse me. You said already the word Kel. If you were writing an assignment in third grade, you would get an F. And the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, who wrote this with the ultimate precision, Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, they're repeating words? For what purpose? Teretz is, Rashi, B'choch Chosmin, not the same Avram, Avraham number two. And therefore, in the Shemona Esrei, Avraham is in Yaakov, Kel HaGadol, that's Avraham number one's Midah, HaGibor is Yitzchak, V'Hanoira, Yaakov's Midah. Now we're up to number four. So what was number four? We defined Avram as the Kel HaGadol, the one who brought out Hashem's Midah of Kel HaGadol. So let's redefine in Avram number two, not Stam or Kel, Kel Elyon. There's much more depth in that. Godol. Godol doesn't just mean Hashem gives. The way the Hashem gives is He's Goymel Chasodim Toivim, and through His giving, the Koine HaKol, the world wakes up to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is the Baal HaBayis, He is the Baal HaBira. This is Avraham number two. And then we wind down in the Zuchus of the Shloishes Avos, really the four Avos. V'zoicher chasti Avos, maybe go levnei v'neim l'man shmo b'yavo, then we wind down. Maybe gives new definition, v'dor revihi yoshuvo heina. Okay, there's a lot of Jewish in that pasuk. Hashem says to Avram, Yodoya tedi geyez beres lo levavod vino yosom v'ar meyoshono, v'dor revihi yoshuvu heina. It's a very big problem, that pasuk, because dor revi to what? The dor, how many generations were they in Egypt? Well, it was meant to be 400 years. That would certainly be a lot more than four generations. And the amount of time that they were there, how do you define the dor? Okay, this is a very complex idea. What does it mean, dor revi? There are many very interesting perushim. But if you want to see a little machshava, the dor revi means that the Avraham number two is the dor revi. There's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. First generation, second generation, third generation. Then comes B'choch Chosmin. B'choch Chosmin is not the same Avram. It's a new Avram. It's a new Avram that has synthesized the first three together. That's the Dor Revi. To come to the times of Mashiach, Yeshuvu Heina, you have to synthesize Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and produce a new Avraham. When you in your personal life, and you in Klal Yisrael, and you in your world history experience, living of world history, will be able to produce the Dor Revi'i, the Chochosmin. That's when Mashiach will come. You'll be able to synthesize the three together. Okay, let's go to another idea. Short idea. That's a separate question, not for now. Why are they not in the Avos? You can ask that about the Shvizim, all the Yashvizim. Okay, that's a separate question. These are the Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Let's now go to another idea. Lech Lecha. I heard a word from Rabbi Shmidman, Rabbi Shmidman over here. He's the Rav of the Shul in Spinka, the Spinka Shtibel here around the corner on East 18th Street. I heard this word in his name, and I just want to add one little embellishment to this word. Vayoyim Hashem el Avram lech lecha. There's a very big discussion in the commentators as to exactly what were the 10 nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. We know that there were 10 nisyonos. Chazal tells us it's the Mishnah Perkei Avos. He was tested by Hashem 10 times. Identify, please, enumerate for me exactly the 10 nisyonos. It's very hard. There are many, many perushim, what they are. We simply understand the last one to be the Akedah. Okay, the last of the 10 were the Akedah, and the first to be when he was thrown into the in the Kivshan in Ur Kasdan. But that in no way is simple. That is no way accurate. There are many perushim, there are many commentators, there are many rishonim that have different opinions, and they enumerate the 10 nisyonos in many different ways. Everyone, to some degree, includes the Akedah, that's for sure one of the 10 nisyonos, and everyone includes the nisyon of leaving his hometown. Lech lecha. You live here your whole life. He was how old? 75 years old at this moment in time. The Avraham Pasuk says he was 75 years old when he left. Right? It says how old he was when he left. And it was in a Soyon. You spend your whole life in one community, in one city. You've expended so much effort, money, time to build up, establish a life for yourself, a community, and here you go, just to walk away from it all. It's a very big nisayon. You have to have emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam to carry out this test. It's not a simple matter. That's the pshutoy shel migra. So I heard over the name of Rav Shmidman. I didn't hear from him directly. Someone in the shul told us to me, and his name is that in addition to the nisayon was something else. Hashem said, lech lecha. And Rashi tells us, lechanoscha ulitoivascha. Don't just leave this land for me. On my mission, I'm telling you, Avram, it's good for you. You will benefit from this move greatly. You will have renown. You will have a large family. You will have wealth. It's not just for me. It's for you. So the idea is, anytime we do something that's both l'shem shamayim and is also for our own benefit, it's a very big nisayon. If someone puts in front of you a sumptuous dinner of delicious steak and alcohol and anything which you desire, your palate enjoys, and you make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nieh B'Dvarayu, whatever bracha you're making to consume the meal, are you making the bracha because it's 100% L'Shem Shamayim? Or, I enjoy this. I'm here a citizen in this world. I want to have pleasure. You're doing it. You're eating the meal because you're eating the meal l'shem Hashem, so you'll have strength to serve Hashem. Or is the reason why you're eating this sumptuous dinner because you're hungry and you want to have a good time? You want to fill up your stomach. You give many examples like this. It's very, very hard when you derive benefit from what you are doing. It is very, very difficult to concentrate and to devote yourself, and what I'm doing now is purely l'shem Hashem. And most of us are not on this level. No one was on this level, and that's why we do. We talk shalom l'shma ba l'shma v'chul v'chul. Everyone knows this whole process. But Avram was not your ordinary person. Avram Avinu is v'roya shamaninim. Everything that he did in his existence, we have emuna pshuta, was done 100% l'shem shamayim. Hashem was throwing in a monkey wrench in this nisayon. It would have been much, much easier for Avram to go to Eretz Canaan if Hashem would say to Avram, "Vayoymer Hashem el Avram, lech me'artzicha u'mimolatecha." We leave out one word, lech me'artz. Leave your homeland. Leave your birthplace. Leave your father's home and go out and to the wild blue yonder. Go out to no man's land. That would be easy. That's like throwing yourself into the Kivshan Ha'esh. Give up your life for me. Easy. Avraham Avinu already did that. He took his life. He entered into the Kivshan Ha'esh to show the world, I believe in Hashem. Whatever will be, will be. So here it's much easier. You don't have to die. Just leave your hometown and go on a trip to honor Hashem. Do you know why this is a nisayon? It's because Hashem says, you're gonna really enjoy this. You're gonna have a good time. The entertainment in Canaan is like nothing you've ever seen. The restaurants, beyond your wildest imagination. The weather, whew, you ain't seen nothing yet. Lech lecha! For you, Avram. That's a real nisayon. I'm here to serve you, Hashem. I'm not here to serve myself. And Hashem is telling him, enjoy it. How could you enjoy it when your whole mission in life is to serve Hashem? I want you to do both. I want you to enjoy life, and by enjoying life, you're serving me. That's a very, very difficult thing to do. No one could do that today. That's the nisayon. The nisayon is not stam. Leave, abandon your family, your friends, and your hometown, and your job. That's a lot easier than being thrown into a furnace to willingly go into a fire. That's tough. That's not easy. To go and just to leave and go to another location for the honor of Hashem, no big deal. But when Hashem tells you, I'm sending you to a 5-star hotel, and you're going to love it. It's going to be delicious. And you're still going to do it l'shem shamayim. That's a novelty. That is a very big nisayon. A whole new fataych. And what was the nisayon? Now, I just want to embellish one little part. I told this to someone. I told this to a very big Rashiv, in fact. And I spoke to him at a wedding. This week, I went to a wedding for a few minutes. I went for the chuppah. And I told him this thing. We were just talking. I was chatting with him. And he liked it so much. He called me up. He tracked me down. He called me up the next day. I should repeat it to him. Make sure I got it right. I got it right. I was so flattered. It's a total trivialty, but it fits right into this pasuk. Today there is a very beautiful minhag in Klal Yisrael where people give blessings to one another. I give you a bracha. You should be gesund. You should have nachas from your children. You should have parnosa b'shefa. You should marry off your children. You should do shidduchim. The list goes on and on and on and on. Right? People give these elaborate blessings, and the person listening. He's absorbing the bracha, and then the custom is to say, "Thank you for your blessing." V'chein lemar, hamavarech misborech. The one who has given the blessing, may he be blessed. V'chein lemar, the blessing should come to you. Some say, kofel u'mechupel, the blessing you gave to me should come to you double, and double that, 4 times. All these beautiful responses. So you know what has happened today? It's backfired. The responses that have always become so prevalent, people give even bigger blessings. I give you a blessing since I know in the back of my mind that you're going to say to me, V'chein lemar, so I might as well up my game. Instead of giving you a bracha, you should have a good yar, I'll give you a 20-minute bracha of everything, every vocabulary word in the dictionary you could find as a blessing, because you're going to say to me, V'chein lemar. So when I'm giving you a bracha, who am I really giving a bracha to? To myself. Someone told me a joke to illustrate how funny it gets, to illustrate this joke. Let's make believe I work for American Express. I work in their legal counsel. I work in their legal counsel, up for a promotion to go to a higher level. But it all depends on if the company is successful. You know, the reports are going to come out soon, the revenue. If they've been very successful this last quarter, then they're going to give me a big, big promotion. I'm talking to, let's say, a 90-year-old man who already has great-great-grandchildren. And I'm wishing him a good Yar Erev Rosh Hashanah. And I say to him, oh, my friend, I see Davin next to you every day. You should have for another 50, another 100 years, which is totally ridiculous, right? Arichas Yomim. And you should have a lot of children. And you should have all of, and you have to give examples. And American Express should do very well this year. And the guy looks at you and he says, I already had my children. I'm done with that. I'm not planning on living here more than another, whatever it is. I'm not living here forever in this world. I don't even work for American Express. So what are you giving me these bizarre blessings? Oh, it's because you want me to say V'chein Lamar. I'm giving you these blessings, which for you are total nonsense. You don't work for American Express. You're not interested in having more children. You don't need all of these things that I'm blessing you. So why am I giving you these bizarre blessings? Because these are the things that I need. So I'm giving you these blessings so you should say V'chein Lamar. That's how funny it gets. You give a person the blessings which are totally irrelevant for them, but they're very relevant for you because you're expecting them to say V'chein Lamar. Okay. That's not a sincere bracha. That is not. If the only reason you're giving a person a blessing is because you really, in the back of your mind, you're blessing yourself, what kind of bracha is that? What kind of bracha is that? Okay, it's very nice. Mitoch shaloi lishma, bo lishma. There's a lack of sincerity. There's no question that this concept of V'chein Lamar has taken away from the sincerity of the bracha. So I told this person, this Rav / Rav Shiva, I said to him, the best blessing you can give in this world is to give a bracha to a child. Because a child will not say back to you, V'chein Lamar. Doesn't know from these things. You give a child, a five-year-old child, you give him a bracha, oh, you should be a Yorish Shemayim, you should have a Havas Torah, you should be healthy and successful. The little kid, the five-year-old, even the 10-year-old, doesn't have hasogis to say, V'chein Lamar, Hamavarech Nisbarech, Kofel Lumechubel. So I know that when I give the five-year-old the bracha, he's not going to say V'chein Lamar. And now the test is, what kind of bracha will I give him? Will I be sincere? Will I give him, will I try to bring up some good feelings to give him a bracha? It's going to be a one-way bracha. I'm not getting anything back. No one's giving me a bracha back. If Hashem wants to give me a bracha back, gvaldik, that's Hashem's business. But there's no human being, I'm imagining, no one knows how these things work, if they work, how they work, whatever works. I'm not imagining, oh, this person is a very big tzaddik, he has a lot of chasadim, he does a lot of secret chesed, in those zechusim, when he says to me, V'chein Lamar, I'm getting a great deal. He has much bigger zechusim than I have, so when I give the bracha, and he says, V'chein Lamar, I'm come way ahead, because this guy's a real tzaddik, and I'm just a nothing. So, it's a little bit insincere. But a child, he's not saying V'chein Lamar. So when my bracha tip is very sincere, the best bracha you can give someone in today's world is to give a bracha to a child. Because the child is not going to say V'chein Lamar. You have done an act of selflessness. You've done something mamish l'shma. You give someone a bracha. It's mamish fits into this vart. What's the nesayon? The nesayon is, you're going to love it. This that you're doing for me, you're not doing for me, you're really going to be doing for yourself. You're going to Eretz Canaan, you're going to have all of these infinite, numerous blessings. You're doing it all for yourself, Avram. That's the nesayon. It's very hard. Knowing that you're going to say back to me, V'chein Lamar, makes it very hard for me to be sincere in serving you. That's a very big nesayon. It's a very big insight. And today, I'm just trying to illustrate with this point, just to illustrate the difference of giving a bracha to your fellow man, when you go through this ritual of giving a bracha and him saying back V'chein Lamar, versus giving a bracha to a person that you know is not going to say back V'chein Lamar. The difference where it's very easy to be sincere. It's a much harder to give a bracha to a person when you know they're going to say back to you V'chein Lamar. That is the nisoyon of Lech Lecha. It's not a coincidence. At the very end is V'heyeh Baracha. Avram, the koyach of Baracha is now in your hands. It all starts and ends with the same concept. When you give a Baracha to someone else, who are you giving the Baracha to? Even if the person doesn't say back, V'chein Lamar. Really, Hashem gives you the Baracha back. V'heyeh Baracha. The last of the is you. Until now, the blessings were in my hand. Now, Avram, you have the koyach to give Baracha. But you realize what that means. Whoever you bless, it boomerangs on you. But that creates a very big nesoyon in your mind that when I'm giving my friend a bracha, am I really being sincere or I'm being selfish? I want to bless myself. That's nichlal in the first pasuk of the parasha, lech lecha. I want you to serve me. The way you're going to serve me is by serving yourself. It puts your mind in a very difficult place to be able...
The question is, why did Hashem say lecha?
Because that's what this world is all about. This is mamash theology. This is mamash fundamental...
He would have done it regardless. And it's still in the Sion.
But Hashem is promising him, that's exactly the point I'm trying to make, is that Hashem is promising him that by serving Hashem, you will enjoy this world as well. Christians, many, many religions... A lot of theologians make this point, is that that's not the way it works by other religions. Rather than this separation, literally a separation of church and state. When you go into the church, you serve God. You walk out of the church, you serve yourself. There is no mingling of the two. In Yadus, the Avodas Hashem is to serve Hashem through serving yourself. V'chaibohem, to serve Hashem through enjoying this world. Everything Hashem put in this world was for you to enjoy, and when you enjoy it, you channel that joy or that simcha to Hashem. Okay, there are many ways to express what that means exactly, but this is something that's unique, truly unique to Yadus, than other religions you don't have. By a goy brings a carbon, what does he bring? He only can bring one type of carbon, a carbon oil. The carbon oil is completely consumed on the Mizbeach. When a Jew brings a carbon, it's a shlamim. Part goes on the Mizbeach and part you eat. That's a novel concept. That you can serve Hashem by serving yourself. This is the Nesoyon. Hagufa. And the example we gave to a degree illustrates this concept. Okay, let's go to another Vart.
What does Amen mean?
Kel Mel, I affirm that Hashem has the power. Hashem is faithful to make it true that what you said will happen, provided that Hashem wants it to happen, and it's within Hashem's power to make it happen, and it's Hashem's decision if it will happen. Amen. This is another topic. What is the meaning of Amen? Let's just go to another verse. Now we're running out of time. Let's discuss the four kings and the five kings. In this week's parasha, we learn about a world war. World War Zero. Before World War One, World War Two, there was World War Zero, the four kings against the five kings. What exactly is going on? What is the issue in this? Why are they fighting? Taxes? Paying for 13 years they served the five kings, and then for 14 years they rebelled, and then in the 15th year of the rebellion, the world erupted. What was the issue? Was it land? They were trying to colonize the world? They were fighting over natural resources? What were they fighting about? There's always a fight. Just stam sinas chinam? What was going on between the two camps, the four kings and the five kings? So I just want to point out a ha'ara. Who are the people? Who are the people that are fighting? Who are the four kings? Now the truth is, it doesn't say, at least in Rashi, three of the four kings, but it tells us who the leader was. Vayehi b'mei Amraphel melech shena. Who is Amraphel? Rashi says, Nimrod. Who Nimrod? This is Nimrod. He was the leader of the four kings. Sha'amar li'avram pol l'sech kiv shanoish. In fact, some learn, if not mistaken, that the next three is really Nimrod. They're just different names for Nimrod. Is that correct? Is that a medrash? I think there's a medrash that says they really were, four kings, four different dimensions of Nimrod. It was all Nimrod. He had different dimensions, different factions. And they're named here, there's Melech, it's four dimensions. It says in the Pasuk, Arba HaChamisha, it says it explicitly in the Pasuk 4. So maybe it means four divisions under his authority. And the Medrash that says each of the other three, it's a reference to Nimrod, it means Nimrod, these were subdivisions of, they were separate entities, so they're called four, but they were all trained, born and bred by Nimrod. He gave them their derech. He gave them their way of life. But it was all Nimrod. One thing is for sure, the four kings were headed, he called the shots among these four kings. They were all under his authority. And the proof is also that Rashi does not even tell us anything about them. Rashi doesn't tell us the significance of their names. He just says this, Amraphel, which is Omar Pol. He said, fall into the fire. Melech Shinar, Ariach Melech Elosa, Kedar Lo'im Melech Elam, Vissidol Melech Goyim. Okay, they made a kidnap. Rashi is silent. doesn't tell us anything more about the other. He does say about Melech Goyim. He does say about that. Now he does say the king of Goyim, but it's not the name of the king. It's the name of the place. Mokom Yesh Sheshmoy Goyim al Shem Shenik Mitzu Shama Mikama Goyim or Mikomos Vimlichu Ish Aleim Shmo Sil. Doesn't tell us the significance of his name. Okay, fine. There we come to the five kings. And Rashi goes out of his way to tell us exactly the nature, the significance of their name. Bera. What's Bera? Ra la Shamayim v'ra la Brios. Beis Ra. A double evil. A double evil. Evil and evil to man, evil to Hashem. Birsha. What's that? Shenis alo birsha. He excelled. He got an A+ for evil. Next, Shinof. Who is Shinof? Soine Oviv Sheba Shamayim. Shemever. Who is Shemever? Yesh Shom Som. He put on his... He invented the plane. Okay? He invented the... He is the first person to fly. Some, the Wright brothers, are not the people who invented the airplane. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yisai. It's in the Farish Rashi. It says here, Som Ever Lo'oif V'likboitz V'limroin B'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It says he invented the plane. He put on wings to fly, to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you're ever on Jeopardy and they ask you who invented the plane, you tell them this, and if they tell you that you're wrong, tell them he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's Fair Shirashi. He's the one who invented the wings to jump and to rebel against Hashem. Why does Rashi tell us the name of these four and doesn't tell us the other? What's going on here? What is exactly, what are they fighting about? What are they fighting about? They serve Kedulaymer with Shloish Eshon and Maradu. They serve. What's going on here? So I think the answer is as follows. Both sides were evil. Both sides, we Klal Yisrael, we wished each, we wish you Hatzlacha. And we wish you Hatzlacha. Both of you should be very successful in the war, wipe each other out. Good luck to you both. And we really mean it. We're very sincere also. Okay? We wish you both the greatest success. Nuke each other. We're very happy. There's a difference, though, in their evil. The five kings, Rashi says very clearly, they themselves epitomized evil. This one excelled in evil. This one put on wings to rebel. This one was evil, Shamayim v'labrios. Each one was worse than the next. What about Nimrod? Nowhere does it say in the Torah that Nimrod was evil. It says something different about Nimrod. He inspired other people to be evil. But he always got away with it. He was always a tzaddik. On the books, I'm a tzaddik. What did I do? I didn't do anything. But he was tzod daiton shalguyos. He did things to, under the table, inspire other people to do his dirty work. Look what it says in Rashi. It's an amazing Rashi. You can find the essence of a Nimrod. Nimrod, back in Parshas Noach, when we first learned about Nimrod, who are you give a tzayid? A tzayid? What's a tzayid? A trapper? What is it? It's like Esav. Esav comes to Yaakov Avinu, to Yitzchak. Tati, how do you give Meiser on salt? How do you give Meiser on Tevin? I'm a Talmud Chacham. I'm a Talmud Chacham. I learned Daf Yomi. I know Shas and Poiskim. Come to the Sima Shas. Come to my Sima Shas. I'm a tzaddik. He trapped. He fooled his father. But he was the epitome of evil. What does it say over here in Rashi, back in Parashas Nech? I can find the Rashi. Rashi, let's see. Pasuk, what Pasuk is it?
Tes.
Pasuk Tes. Okay, give me one moment. Turn the pages.
Perek Yud.
Okay, Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes. Gibor Tzayit. Sod Daton. The mind. The mind of who? Shel Brios. Not me. Other people. Bepiv, with his eloquent speech, his trickery. Umaton, he misled other people. Limroid Bamakon. It doesn't say he did anything. Lifnei Hashem, the next words, Mischavein Lahaknitoi Alpanov. His intent doesn't necessarily mean he did it. His intent of trapping other people, And provoking them was to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a different type of evil. The world, Rabbi Sai, is an evil place. It's a lot of problems. There are different types of evil. The Melchama, the war was, which type of evil is better? Is it better for you yourself to be a Rasha? That was the debate among the wicked people, among the liberals in different camps, no? There are different ways, what?
The Torah holds differently, like a Moises, if you incite...
Moises Mediach, in a Chanan. Oh, who won the war? Who won, well, the first 13 years, who lost the war? Put it like that, let's make it better. Who ultimately lost? Who ultimately lost? The one, no, the one that ultimately lost, Avram saved the five kings. And that means who lost the battle? Who did Avram save? He saved the evil people. Why is Avram taking sides? There's a world war going on. Originally, the one that prevailed in the world was Nimrod. It's him. Along comes five evil people who rebel. And there's a war. And at what point in time, who was winning the war? Nimrod. And Avraham enters into the scene. And he destroys Nimrod, the aggressor. He wipes that out, that team, and he restores to power the five kings. Said, but why are you restoring Sodom and the five evil people? What's it's more than just saving Lot. It's the alternative is much worse. Someone has to run the world. There's got to be someone that's going to run the world. The world can't be eliminated. You can't wipe everyone out. There has to be a winner. So which is the lesser of the evils? Mr. Rappaport, you're right. Who is the lesser of the evils? The Meisus Umodiach or the Russia?
The
lesser of the evils. The Russia. Who won the war when it was all over, when the parish is over, when parish is Lech Lecha is over, it's Mitzvah Shabbos, Tavdallah. Who won the war? The Russia won the war. Who lost the war? The Meisus Umodiach. Exactly what you said. The world, who made that decision? Who made the decision who's going to win the war? Avram Avinu. Who is the lesser of the evils? The lesser of the evils is the one who is an outright Rasha. You know what you're dealing with. We know you're evil. Okay, we need you. We need you to run the world. To be a faker. I'm a tzaddik. Everything is good and fine. I have split hoofs. Everything is good and fine. But surreptitiously, to be meisus umodiach, to tzores habriyos, to trap past laws, oh, pass this law, this law. I know the consequences of what this law will lead to. It'll lead to l'schavein, to rebel against Hashem. But me, I'm a tzaddik. I'm good to the poor. I'm good to the society. I'm good here. I'm good there.
But what was the actual fight about? You didn't answer.
The fight about was which was a better way to destroy the world, to rebel against Hashem. Everyone had in common they wanted to rebel against Hashem. The world is an evil place. You know, it's a world of problems. The common denominator of the evildoers was to rebel against Hashem. The question was, what's the better technique? So you can be outright evil against Hashem, or you can surreptitiously be evil. You'll do more damage if you're evil in a surreptitious way. That was the war. Different ideologies of evil. And they fought it out. And who got caught up? Who was the collateral damage? Lot. So now Avram says, I can't sit in the sidelines anymore. I got to do something. I got to take sides because I got my nephew who is all mixed up in this thing. So Avram, when he could have just saved Lot and restored Nimrod, he chose not to do that. Avram entered into the world war. He saved Lot, and he decided the lesser of the evils is the people who are outright evil. At least there's a label on there. Designer suits. Evil. Whereas Nimrod was a Sheni Yid. He learns Daf Yomi. He learned Daf Yomi. He's kind. He's a good person. They pass nice laws. Liberals, right? They were nice and kind. Deep down inside, Nimrod was more dangerous. Nischaven Limroy boy. Through his unique way of tzod umelastim as tzod, and he would trap their minds.
It's an ideological
approach of how to bring out the most damage and evil. It's a very powerful limud musar of if to know where you stand, know what evil is.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Abram take over the world now?
Well, he didn't have the resources. He didn't have the resources. He's only one man. He's only one man. He can't. The world is a big place. You can't go take over. I'll give you right now the whole China, the whole Russia, the whole China. You have enough. You're going to figure out how to run these countries. It takes. You can't run the whole world. You need a staff. Let the world go on. Business as usual. There was a war, but right now I've had to make a decision, and this was the decision. It's a limud hamusa. What is the lesser of evils? Okay, maybe one more vart. Something very, very interesting. One more vart. Maybe wind down with this vart. Okay, this week's parasha. There, we learn of a change of name in Tanakh. This is something very, very fascinating. The sefer. Not my observation. I saw this observation somewhere else. I just want to make a comment on this observation. In Tanakh, Chumash, Torah, there are four people who have received a change of name. The best that I know. A change in name. Who are the four people?
Avram and Sarah.
Sarai to Sarah. Avram to Avraham. Yeshua from Hoshea to Yehoshua. And who's the fourth one? No, that's an additional name. That was an appendage. That was an added name. What? No, Yehoshef. No, that's in Tehillim. That's not even so partial. Yehoshef. What? Let's talk Chumash. Let's focus on Chumash. One more person. Yisrael. Yisrael was Yeser. Yeser Choisnoi.
He has seven names.
What? He has seven names, but in Chumash itself, this stands out. It says, Yeser Choisnoi.
Yaakov Yisrael.
It's an additional name. Even though he got the name Yisrael, he was still called, Yaakov stays. Yaakov stays. We're still called Yaakov. Every day we say Yaakov three times. It's an additional name. But Yisrael was changed from Yeser, he got a Vav Yisrael. Very fascinating. What are the four letters that were changed? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Avram and Sarai, two Hays. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yisrael was Yeser to Yisrael Vav. And Hoshea, Yud. He got an extra Yud. The Yud came from Sarai. He got a Yud. So the letters together, four letters together, spell Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. Hashem, it's an amazing, what is the purpose of this world? The purpose is to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into this world. These four people are a team. Okay, the significance of these four people are part of a team who have changed the world. And the change, how they've changed the world, is seen in the fact how they are partners in Hashem's name. A fundamental change, an alteration of the DNA of this world. Fascinating. Now, there are two other similarities I want to point out. And you'll think about, what is the connection? All these four people, it is associated with these four people, a very unique expression of looking, of the eyes. Avram. What is the moment of truth in Avram? And this is Parsha. Avram says, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is the lowest point. We talk to a psychologist. Where did Avram hit a low? Where did he hit rock bottom? Hashem says, Avram, after all this whole, Avram says, Matitein li, v'yanoichi hoylech ariri, uvenesek eliezer, v'nesek beisihu damesek eliezer. This, in this week's parasha, Avram Avin, he walked into Alcoholic Anonymous, what's it called? He walked into the center. He reached rock bottom. Matitein li, this whole thing is meaningless. It's worthless. The onoichi hoylech ariri. I have nothing in this world. What happened? Hashem says, Avram, don't complain. Vayoyitze oisa achutza. Hashem took him out. Look at the stars. Habet no. Hakoychavim. The term is habet, to gaze. It doesn't say re'ia. It doesn't say histakel. It doesn't say, look, use your eyes. Habet no. Look at the stars and count them. Tucha lisper oisam, koi yihyeh zaracha. The most critical moment in Avram Avinu's life was this moment where Hashem said, look, look, habet no hashamayim. Habet ushamayim ure'e. We said that in Nusach HaTfilah, to play on Avram Avinu, habet no hashamayim. Sarah. Her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. The first time we ever learn about the existence of Sarah, what's her name? Yiska. Yiska, which means Rashi to be soicha, to gaze, to look, to look. Furthermore, Avram Avinu after he had Yitzchak, what happens? Atere Sora es Yishmoel Mitzachik. What's the exact term? I don't know the exact pasuk. She saw that Yitzchak that Yishmoel was Mitzachik, and that changed the whole world. Everything there changed. She said, "Get rid of this guy. This guy is out." And Hashem said, "Call Asher Toymar Sora Shma Bikola Vatere Vatere Sora as Ben Hagar HaMitzris Asher Yodol Yavram Mitzachek," and that altered the course of history. Klal Yisrael, with this gaze, Yiska Vatere, and this is Sora. Next, Yisra. It says, "No, it's Vayishma Yisra." Much better. There's something which is off the charts. Moshe pleads with Yisrael, "Please don't leave us." If you wrote the Chumash, all you say, "Don't leave us." You might, my shver. How could my shver go away without me? What's an Eidim without a shver? You can have all, give a million reasons why you can't leave me, why you shouldn't leave me. But what does he say? V'hoyisolanu le'enoyim. You will be our eyes. Half-leva, what does that mean? Unbelievable. You will be our eyes. The king are better than that. Yoshua, v'yosuru es eretz kanan. Yoshua was from the Meraglim. He was the first one to lay his eyes as a nation on Eretz Yisrael. Not Avram was the Ovis before Matan Torah. But when we come now to achieve the mission, the Yosuru. Yosuru means to look, not just look, to look behind the scenes, to be a spy. Each one of these four individuals who represents the Shini Hashem, the Shini Hashem of Yudkei Vavkei, it's also associated with a unique expression of looking, of ri'iyah, of looking at this world. There's another similarity I think is very significant as well. Each four of these people is very much associated with Bris Milah. Let me explain. Avram, I don't have to explain to you. He was the first person to ever have a Bris Milah. That's a given. Let's talk about Yoshua. Yeshua was Mal, the entire Klal Yisrael, and Chazal explicitly clear, he introduced Piriya. There are three parts to Milah. The two parts, first parts are the most significant. Piriya, the removal of the force, the Milah is the removal of the outer skin, and the Piriya was a new halacha, a new chiddush, a Yoshua, that was given to Yoshua to remove, to fold back the membrane. The Priya is not done. It's not a kosher milah, but the Priya was only given not to Avram. It was given to Yehoshua, not even to Moshe. The whole din of Priya is a very bizarre concept. Yehoshua is a chelek. He is the first one to do a Priya at a bris milah. So that's Avram, Yehoshua, Yisrael. Yisrael was a ger. The first time by Yichad Yisrael. Yichad Chazal said he was Mal himself. He did a bris milah. He was the first goy, a person that's not part of the tribe, not a member of Klal Yisrael, to do a bris milah. Haloi davar. Now what about Sarah? Sarah is a bit more difficult, but not so difficult. Isha parashas Tazria. Isha ki Sazria, the Yolda Zohar, the Hoysa Shivas Yomim Tachas Imoi, Uvayoim Hashmini Yimol Bisar Arlosai. In this pasuk, it makes it explicitly clear that the mother is associated with the bris milah. The Isha ki Sazria, the Hoya Bayoim, this pasuk does not belong here. Parshas Mitzora is not the parsha bris milah. Bris milah is all over the place. It does not belong in Parshas Mitzora, doesn't it? Tazria, it doesn't belong there. Saras, what everyone is, what is it doing here? Isha ki Sazria, so she's studying for 7 days. 44, you have to go tell me all the laws of Bris Milah here. Throw in the middle of nowhere. It's to teach you that the Bris Mila Ben is Isha, we're giving Noshim Bina Yisera. Bina Yisera. A Ben is the inspiration of the Mel. Chazal say the Isha Mizras Tchilo, there's a Ben. There is an association here, a direct association to the Isha Ki Sazria. Sora Imenu is the Isha with the Hei Hayidi of Klal Isha. Sora Imenu was the Ho Isha. Vashem Pokar Sora. She was as a Nes. Sazria, she gave birth to Klal Isha. And Mel Yitzchak was the first Mimal on the eighth day. So there's no question that Sora is the Chelik and Bris Mila. Haloidavar. All of these three things have to be related. I don't have the exact definition, but there's one thing that people, they write about today, is a very big problem with the internet, I have to tell you. And the nisyonos of being Shomer HaBris in world history, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have never been so difficult. Today a person can see literally in 3 minutes more than our great-grandparents, even our grandparents, great-grandparents, can see their whole life. You can see in 3 minutes, Devarim HaAsurim, more than the whole shtetl can see over a period of 100 years. In 3 minutes, you can see Kol Davar Asa. It's incredible, shocking, it's frightening. And not everyone is a tzaddik, who is this in Kailo. Okay, not everyone is, the nisyonos are just very, very hard, very difficult. It's very interesting. Bris is Shmiras HaBris. That's Davar Pashat. There are many dimensions to Bris Mila. The Einayim, it all starts, the Ayin Raya, the Lev is Chomeid, and it leads to Dvarim HaAsurim, which we define the term of Shemar, the Bris. And yet, and the people who were involved, all is Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Four people, all were given the Koyach of Re'iyah, a unique Koyach of Kedusha, a Re'iyah of sanctity. A Re'iyah that is associated with Yudke Vavke. And this Re'iyah on the tail end is all related to a Chelek, an integral Chelek in Bris Mila, Shmiras HaBris. And obviously there's a lesson, is that if we want to be Zoyche to the Yudke Vavke, it all begins with these two ends. The two ends, the sandwich of Shmira Seinayim, which is so, so difficult, and where Achmona Litzlan, where if there's an absence of Shmira Seinayim, it can lead to a pigima to Bris, what Bris Mila represents. It's a fascinating thing how these things, is a Chora, they come together. We have a wonderful Shabbos.